Fortunately, we saw a level of protection on all those major measurable parameters. As it regarded post-challenge lung lesions, the vaccinated treatment group had a significant reduction. It was a very good challenge. And when I say that, I can tell you and the audience, Clayton, that over all the years and all the challenge isolates that we put into pigs, this was one of the more severe challenges. It was highly virulent. It had severe clinical consequences, especially in those non-vaccinated pigs. It ranks up there with one of the more highly virulent challenge isolates we put into pigs. So it confirms what we see and hear being reported from the field.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com. Farm Health Guardian, digital technology for better biosecurity.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. My name is Dr. Clayton Johnson, and I'm the host of the podcast. Joining me in our illustrious podcast studios this week is Dr. Reed Phillips. Dr. Phillips is an associate director in technical marketing for PERS with Boehringer Ingelheim. Dr. Reed, thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate you being here. And if you would, please introduce yourself a little bit to the audience.
Well, thanks for having me, Clayton. Yeah, just a real brief intro. I graduated from Iowa State College of Veterinary Medicine in 1981. After that, I practiced in Western Iowa, Audubon, Iowa, originally, and then moved and practiced in Columbus, Nebraska for a period of time through 1994. Then I took a position with Noble Labs, which became integrated into BI Swine or Boehringer Ingelheim Swine. Been with Boehringer since 1994, and my role with Boehringer during much of that time has been as a technical manager focused on PERS and PERS control management strategies and the use of our vaccine with customers in the field.
Salmonella presents significant challenges to pig health and performance and poses food safety risks to humans. As the first and only vaccine offering live attenuated strains of both Salmonella cholera suis and Typhimurium, Enterosol Salmonella TC from Boehringer Ingelheim protects pigs against both serotypes with a single oral dose. Talk to your Boehringer Ingelheim representative to learn more.
Well, Reed, you're a humble guy. It's one of the many things I love about you. And you're going to hate this, but I'm going to brag on you for a second. Because in your time with BI, you have contributed a vast amount of knowledge to how to use PERS vaccines in particular, but as we'll talk, a whole component of tools, how to use PERS vaccines to try and mitigate the impacts of the nasty wild-type viruses that we've had. And we're here today to talk about one specific challenge trial, but this is one of many challenge trials that your team has done, where you've taken the bad actor of the day, right? The bad boy PERS strain that everybody's talking about at the industry meetings and cussing under their breath. You've taken that bad boy strain and you've put it into pigs, some of them vaccinated, some of them not vaccinated. And you've reported out, here's what we see, right? Right, wrong, or indifferent across time and space and different strains. And you're here today to talk about the most recent one with a current bad wild type isolate. So without further ado, Reed, you know, I know this is kind of hot off the presses. You guys are going to publish this, but it's not even published yet. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, how these sorts of trials come together? You know, what's the design look like? How do you measure? And then eventually we'll get into the results from there.
Yeah, very good. And thanks. That's very accurate, Clayton. And you're right. Over the years, we in the industry, relative to PERS, we seem to find new emerging wild type strains every 3 to 5 years. And a frequently asked question we get is, does your modified live vaccine still offer cross protection to this new emerging strain? So when we are faced with those new emerging strains and those questions, we'll get the virus in-house, we'll characterize it, and then we'll put it into a vaccination challenge study to ask and answer that question. And so more recently, we have just completed a study looking at this 144 lineage 1C.5 variant. emerged in about 2020. This particular isolate is a 2021 isolate that we retrieved and from the field, and we put it into a vaccination challenge study to ask the question, does our vaccine offer a level of cross protection to challenge from this new emerging isolate? Just briefly, if I were to describe that challenge design, it's pretty straightforward. It's become rather standard in the industry. We'll have a group of vaccinated pigs and a group of non-vaccinated pigs. At day zero, we'll vaccinate the pigs with our vaccine, in this particular case, Engelvac PRRS MLV by label. And we'll have the unvaccinated group of pigs that receive a placebo, sterile water. 4 weeks later, then, that gives the vaccine ample time to generate a vaccine-derived immune response, a protective immune response. We'll challenge both groups, the vaccinated group and the non-vaccinated group, call it day 28 of the study. And then we'll evaluate average daily weight gain, post-challenge viremia, percent PRRS-induced lung lesions in that post-challenge period. Typically, in most of these standard studies, that's a two-week period following challenge. So at day 42 or 2 weeks following challenge, we'll necropsy the pigs. That gives us an opportunity to evaluate the post-challenge percent lung lesions induced by PRRS, when we expect to see peak PRRS-induced lung lesions. In a study like this, we measure everything, okay? Clinical signs, temperature, but three primary parameters that we measure and report on that are resonate with the industry are the lung lesions, okay? Those researchers want to know, did we see significant reduction in PRRS-induced lung lesions? That's important. We expect that in the vaccinated pigs. We also look at that post-challenge average daily weight gain. That's important to the producer and the swine veterinarians out there. We expect vaccinated animals, animals that have some level of protection, to have improved or significantly improved average daily weight gain following the challenge. And then viremia. Viremia is the evil thing that causes all the clinical consequences that we know occur with PRRS. And we expect vaccinated animals to have a significant reduction in that level of post-challenge viremia. So those would be three key parameters that we'll measure in a study like this.
Very good. Reed, you gave us a wonderful overview of how do you set up the study? What measurements do you collect? And I'm sure the audience is excited to hear, what were some of the key findings from this particular study? With that lineage 1C.5 PRRS 144 strain you had, what'd you learn?
Fortunately, we saw a level of protection in all those major measurable parameters. As it regarded post-challenge lung lesions, the vaccinated treatment group had a significant reduction. It was a very good challenge. And when I say that, I can tell you and the audience, Clayton, that over all the years and all the challenge isolates that we put into pigs, this was one of the more severe challenges. It was highly virulent. It had severe clinical consequences, especially in those non-vaccinated pigs. It ranks up there with one of the more highly virulent challenge isolates we put into pigs. So it confirms what we see and hear being reported from the field. Having said that, the non-vaxxers had just under 30% lung lesions 2 weeks post-challenge, and the vaxxers had 14% lung lesions, so a significant reduction in post-challenge lung lesions. As regards average daily weight gain, the non-vaccinated pigs really didn't grow at all. Their average daily weight gain was around 0.07 pounds per day during that two-week period. I mean, they just didn't get up to eat. They didn't get up to drink. The consequences were very impactful. The vaccinated pigs had just under 0.4 pounds per day gain during that two-week period, significantly higher than the non-vaccinates. And we saw a significant reduction post-challenge viremia. So by day, we started to see separation in the level of viremia between the vaccinates and the non-vaccinates starting around 35 days or that first week post-challenge. by day 42, there was a significant difference in separation between the vaccines and the non-vaccines, with the vaccines having a significant reduction in post-challenge viremia. What we expect, and so we were glad to see that. So in those three key parameters, we saw evidence that vaccine-derived immunity generated efficacy, a level of protection against this heterologous challenge.
Did you get to walk these pigs at all, Reed? Did you get the opportunity to observe them? Do you have any notes just kind of on, let's call it the lethargy level or lack thereof in the pigs that have been vaccinated or not vaccinated? I presume the vaccinated pigs had to be a lot more active if they were actually gaining weight. They had to be up moving around. And it sounds like a significant enough difference there that it might be noticeable to the caretaker.
Yeah, that's a great question, Clayton. And this is probably some good bullet points for the audience. This is a controlled experimental study with a controlled experimental design where we are blinded as observers. And often you'll hear us say, well, we were blinded, but we're not that blind. And to the point where you don't know which pigs belong to which treatment group, but you can tell there's a difference, you know, especially during that peak viremia period. The non-vaccinated pigs, they just aren't getting up. It's even hard as you walk through the pens to get them up. They don't want to eat. They don't want to drink. And as you move, you know, 1 week to 2 weeks following that post-challenge period, I mean, you just can see a difference in activity. The vaccinated pigs, they bounce back. They rebound significantly faster. They're feeling better. They're getting up to eat and drink. And, you know, that's the return on your, you know, vaccine-derived immunity investment. You can just see the difference. Those non-vaccinated pigs had really high temperatures, high temperatures for an extended period of time, and just really severe clinical impact. So you could actually visualize the difference.
Yeah, I think it's always important to look at it through the lens of the caretakers. Nobody likes to take care of sick pigs, and I'm certain in this situation that the challenged pigs, even the vaccinated ones, showed some clinical signs, right? But I think that's why we do these studies, is so we're not left with a situation where all we see is the vaccinated pigs and we say, well, but they still got somewhat sick, right? You know, does this vaccine work? This is good information to have to say, look, your results were absolutely disastrous without vaccination. With vaccination, yeah, it's still not maybe the production statistics that are our target statistics for a non-PRRS infected herd, but it's better. It's meaningfully better for the pigs and for the people that are taking care of those critters.
Exactly right. I mean, vaccine-derived immunity, and we all know this today, Clayton, and you said it very well, it doesn't prevent infection. The pigs still get infected, but it mitigates the consequences of infection. And one of the most important things is that reduction in post-challenge viremia, and you'll hear us refer to that critical post-challenge period. As you reduce that level of circulating virus, its ability to replicate for long extended periods of time, both in magnitude and duration, it allows those protected pigs to bounce back. They recover better, quicker, faster. There's an impact. You know, it's not perfect. It doesn't prevent infection, but they're able to clinically rebound, get back to their game better, quicker, faster than those that have no protection. And, you know, there's bioeconomic value and benefit in that.
Well, and Reed, one last question here for you. I'm sure that the reason we saw that good protection is because the vaccine you used is a perfect match to that field strain, right? They're tied together, 99.8% homology or something like that. Am I assuming that correct?
Yeah, great question. And no, you're not. We're to a point now where I think the industry understands pretty well that we just don't have a good predictor of protection. We don't have an assay or a correlate or a predictor of protection. So, you know, a vaccine sequence similarity to a wild type strain or a lineage origin to a wild type strain lineage origin, none of those are predictors of protection. All the vaccines that are available, ours included, are going to be heterologous. They're going to be different, and they're going to be significantly different to the wild-type challenge strains that we're faced with. So everything we look at is going to be heterologous, you know, heterologous protection or a level of heterologous protection. So, again, we can't predict protection via sequence homology or lineage origin. But the good news is these challenge studies are still they're the gold standard for asking and answering the question. And the modified live vaccines, in this particular case, AngleVac PRRS MLV, do offer and continue to offer protection against current relevant challenges that we face, irregardless of lineage origin or sequence similarity.
Very well said, Reed. We don't have predictive capabilities necessarily, but we do have 30 to 40 studies that predominantly have been done by your team through the years looking at this vaccine against all sorts of different strains with all sorts of different genetic backgrounds. And safe to say, we've seen fairly similar results in all of them, and that you will improve the performance of your PRRS-infected pigs if they are vaccinated 4 weeks ahead of that challenge. Reed, this is another chapter in that book, and it's a very important one for all of us that have to manage this disease. Can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing that information with our audience.
Well, Clayton, thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Yep. Well, and Reed, we only get this opportunity because of the audience. For those of you who are listening in, please take a moment and like and subscribe to the podcast if you would. It goes a long way towards helping us to continue to reach more and more pig producers, more and more folks in our industry. For Dr. Reed Phillips, I'm Dr. Clayton Johnson. This has been the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast. We really appreciate you spending some time with us today, and please have a great rest of your week.